Little do Sydneysiders know that beneath Sydney's Barangaroo Towers, underground farms are already producing abundant leafy greens. And it's all part and parcel of a global movement by innovators to experiment with smart greenhouses as a way to bring back food production back into the heart of the city. To do this well, traditional farm techniques are combined with advanced sensor technology, automated ventilation, and smartphone apps to create controlled environments so crops can thrive even in places thought impossible. Race's Edge reporter Thomas Kutis caught up with Veera Shah, who is lecturer in design and urban technologies at the University of Sydney.
From my research, I don't think farming urban space has been play a big role in the Australian city's history. What we have seen is quite common that during the urban sprawl process, a lot of agriculture and farming land been transformed for housing or infrastructure such as parks and roads. So I think I would say most of farming were happening in rural and regional areas.
How has urban expansion affected traditional farming spaces around cities?
So our research recently found that greenhouse, which is enclosure that control climate for crops to grow, has been spread in urban spaces, especially in those hidden and repurposed urban space. One of examples that I recently discovered this year was this urban farming space in underneath Barangaroo International Tower. So it's under the street level, but the farmer transformed a patch of around 150 square disused parking space into this farming space where they use LED lights, ventilation system, and also their sensor to read the environment and the small, the microclimate conditions that's suitable for grow the crops.
So what example of high-tech urban farming is described beneath Sydney's Barangaroo Towers? Could you give us an example of that?
I visited this farm earlier this year called Urban Green Sydney. So the level of technology sophistication really varies in different farming contexts. And in this case, in Urban Green Sydney, they use LED lights, sensors, I believe ventilation system, because the space under there is quite humid and does not have much air, to control the growing conditions. They also, the farmer also have a smartphone where they can rate those environmental parameters.
So how do sensors, ventilation systems and smartphone apps contribute to smart greenhouse farming? Can you give us just a few examples about that?
Greenhouse is actually not a new technology. And what smart technology has assisted with the greenhouse is making the control or the monitoring environment aspect more precise and more digital. Another example that I have in mind is this one called Agritech Princeton in Western Sydney University in its Hawkesbury campus. So they use their existing advanced greenhouse, and they also have proposed this vision to bring in like the robotic arms to water the plants, and also sensors to read the environment to get more precise and accurate information about the environment.
And in what ways, still onto technology, in what ways do smart greenhouses differ from the traditional greenhouses that you see with the shed and all the plants in there in terms of plant growth control?
Apart from the preciseness that technology can support in raising the environment in greenhouse, I think the major difference between traditional greenhouse and smart greenhouse is also about be not restricted by the scale and size. So like normally when we think about greenhouse, we often, it's very likely we're thinking about greenhouse being used in the rural area with large footprint. So it's a pretty big structure using in commercial agriculture or horticulture industries. But nowadays, what our research found in our urban space where, you know, land value is pretty high and a lot of space not prioritized for food production, those technology allow people to grow food in much smaller footprint. So for example, we have talked about agritech in Western Sydney, which is a big precinct, but we also have seen those kind of appliance in the home that people can use to grow mushroom or micro herbs in their kitchen. So this is one of the, what we found is this gets really popular after COVID, during COVID and also after COVID when people want to be self-sufficient and not to rely too much on the external food market.
I understand that Spain and China implemented smart greenhouses. And what lessons might cities learn from these smart greenhouses, do you think?
Yeah, well, so yes, China is a big one using smart greenhousing, but mainly in the rural area, also Spain, I think they're rolling out similar call for their country as well, because they are still happening, and then my research haven't really covered that part. I don't think I can comment on that much, but I think one of the key things we have learned from the research data so far is those smart greenhouses in urban spaces are more like a dotted presence. They show up in some expected space, like a basement car park in domestic private space. And then we haven't seen the big picture. We don't know how this has been rolled out informally in Sydney or in other Australian cities. I think that's why we are doing this research.
What roles do renewable energy and desalination play in large-scale smart greenhouse projects? For example, in South Australia's Sundrop Farms.
Yeah, well, so Sundrop Farm, maybe as you or many audience might know, it's a really big farming area in South Australia, and they use solar power and the desalination infrastructure that power the food production in a climate that wouldn't be able to grow food. So I think those technology are really important in terms of supporting using sustainable energy, and then utilize the space that we otherwise won't be able to grow those crops.
And what are the potential benefits and drawbacks of urban smart greenhouses in terms of climate resilience and energy consumption?
So those smart greenhouses, one of the key goals of those three smart greenhouses is using less resource to grow more. So it's using this market logic of making more efficient and more productive. But one of the drawbacks, as you mentioned, is about the high energy cost. And then that relate to one of the key arguments I made in the piece I wrote last week. Like, who can afford those technology, or who can afford those energy use? And then also because these smart greenhouses often are enclosed and in those private hidden areas, if there's no understanding of the big picture, this may eventually become an equity issue on who can produce food in certain way, and how can we support like making this food production more equitable and sustainable throughout the city.
Vera Shah is lecturer in design and urban technologies at the University of Sydney, speaking there with Racist Edge reporter Thomas Kutis and ending that interview.